Malachi chapter number 2, let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And now, ye priests, this commandment is for you." So, very clear, we are addressed here, the priest. "And now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, and by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, Wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, Wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, Every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Let's pray this morning, and we'll get into the lesson. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, it was a beautiful morning, and to see the sunrise, and Lord, just see your creation, God, and I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for all the folks that rode the buses and the folks that drove in this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the faithfulness, and thank you for the faithfulness of this group of people. And Lord, you know I pray for them, and I pray that this would be a blessing this morning. Lord, help us as we look at these few thoughts this morning. We'll give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." So who is this commandment for? The priest, all right? So we know that this is for the priest. And you say, "Well, Brother Chad, I am not a priest." All right, that was Old Testament law. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. You say, "Yes, but that was is talking to the tribe of Levi." True. But you know, when Jesus, what was the priest for? The priest was to go make offerings for the children of Israel when they did something that they weren't supposed to do. There was peace offerings, trespass offerings, sin offerings. And the priest had to go before the throne or before the mercy seat, and he had to go into what they called the Holy of Holies. Remember, there was a curtain, if you remember the curtain in the tabernacle, and only the priest was allowed to go past that curtain. And the children of Israel, the common person in the children of Israel, they were not allowed to go past that curtain. If anybody would go past that curtain, they would be killed, all right? And so the priest basically was the mediator, the person that stood in between God and man. And that's what the priest was. The Catholic Church, they still have what? Priest. And they still believe that that man stands in between God and the people. All right? But remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross? Jesus was on the cross, and when he gave up the ghost, when he died, what happened in the temple? An amazing thing happened. That curtain, if you read in the book of in the book of Exodus, what that curtain was made out of and the dimensions of that curtain, it was pretty amazing curtain. Okay, it wasn't just like your little, you know, curtain that you have on your window. Okay, this was a thick, very thick curtain made out of basically animals, a combination of things, animal skins included. But when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. Nobody ripped it, but it was ripped from the, as soon as Jesus died, that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. And you know what that was saying? Okay, you've had priests up to this point, but now anybody has access to the throne of God. Everybody does. And so the first thing we're going to look at this morning is we are all priests. So this passage here could be applicable to all of us because we are all priests, because when the curtain was ripped, God made us priests. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. You know, I don't have to confess my sin to a person, because there is no mediator now between me and God except the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. But that's part of God, okay? So there is no person that I have to go to that says, well, you have to tell me your sins and then I'll tell God your sins. No, that's not the way it is. Because when that curtain ripped, I can go directly to God. All right, I am basically my own priest, for lack of a better term. Okay, and you say, Brother Chad, that's pretty neat. Yes, it's kind of scary too. When you know what the criteria was for a priest and the things that were required of a priest, there is much more accountability to the priest than there was to the common Israelite. 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're going to read a few verses here. Verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I read a few more verses there. We'll come back to those in a few minutes. But we, Christians, those that have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you, myself, we are a royal priesthood. We have that position before God as a priest. Revelation chapter 1, just a few pages over. Revelation chapter number 1. Verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is that us? It is me. He loved me and he washed me from his sins in his own blood. All right? From my sins, I'm sorry. From my sins in his own blood. Verse number 6. And hath made us what? Kings and priests. Unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Flip over a few pages. Revelation chapter 5. Verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Mark chapter 15. Flip back to Mark chapter 15. Verse number 38. And this is where I was talking about earlier. I should have went here first, I guess. I apologize. Mark chapter 15, verse 30. Let's look at 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. Folks, our position before God is as a priest. We can go directly to God. If you need something, when the children of Israel needed God to work in a marvelous way for them, who went to God before them? The priest did. If the children of Israel did something they shouldn't have, and they committed a sin before God, who went to God for them? The priest did. But you know, when I need something from God, who do I need to go to? Or who goes to God for me? I can go directly to God. When I do something wrong, who goes to God to atone for my sin? Or not atone, Jesus Christ has atoned for my sin, but who goes to God and basically tries to get forgiveness? I do. I can go to God, all right? But you know what? And sometimes I think we think, oh, when we have a big need, and there's nothing wrong with this, I don't think. But when we have a big need, you know who we want to go talk to? Pastor. Well, if you get your prayer, just think with me through this. Use your logic, okay? If you go to pastor with a need, and he wants you to, I'm not saying that. Or you go to people in the church with a need saying, would you really pray with me about this? Well, if God answers that prayer, how do you know that it wasn't, whose prayer did he answer? Does that make sense? Whereas if you have a closet, and the Bible talks about closet prayers, you really need something from God, and you want to see God work in a marvelous way, pastor has the same standing as a priest before God as what we do. But you know what? Why don't we go to God? Why don't I go to God? Because then I can see God work for me in a marvelous way. Okay, I hope you follow me with that. You know, I'm not saying don't go to pastor and he wants you to, or don't go to other people in the church. I have people in the church that I consider prayer warriors that if I do this, if I have something that's really important to me, I go to them and say, I got this coming up. Would you pray with me about this? And they love to do that. But you know, when the prayer's answered, it's like, man, did God answer my prayer or their prayer? Whose prayer did he answer? And it's pretty neat because I'm a priest, I'm before God, I am also a priest. So if I can go to God and say, God, can you help me with this? And God answers my prayer, that's amazing that God would look down at me and say, I'll answer his prayer. All right? So don't be afraid to go to God as a priest. Don't be afraid to do that. So we know that a priest can go to God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 4. So number one, we are all priests. Number two, a priest can go to God. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Like I said, we can go to God. You can go to God. Don't be afraid of going to God, all right? Don't be afraid. You are just as much a priest as the Levites were a priest when Jesus Christ died on the cross, okay? So don't be afraid to go to God with those needs. Number three. So number one, we are all priests. Number two, a priest can go to God. Number three, a priest is required to live a clean life. You say, Brother Chad, sometimes I it seems like my prayers aren't answered. And I will be honest with you. You know, sometimes it seems like we go to pastor and there's other people in the church that, man, their prayers really get answered. And don't seem like ours get answered. Well, I think sometimes the difference is this right here, the clean life. the clean life. If we're not willing to live a clean life, you can't expect God to look down and say, well, I'm going to bless him even though he's not living clean. You can't expect that, okay? And that's sometimes why, I don't want to fix my, and this is what happens, I don't want to fix my life, so I'm going to go to ask somebody else to pray for me whose life is clean. That's what happens sometimes. I'm not saying that's your case necessarily, but it does happen, okay? And you can talk to pastor, and it happens all the time to him. I mean, how many prayer requests does he get from people? Would you pray for us? And he's like, well, yeah, but why don't you go pray for yourself? Because you're a priest also, remember? But, well, I don't know if God will hear me. Why not? You're a priest. God listens to the priest. So why wouldn't God hear you? It's something to think about. Something to think about. A priest is required to live a clean life. Let's go flip back over to Malachi. And there's two points here that are kind of, we're going to basically look at. Look at verse number 4, Malachi chapter 2, verse number 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you. Remember, he's talking to the priest here. Sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. So here's a person that feared God. So God made a covenant with him for the priesthood, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Sounds like somebody that's living their life right. Sounds like somebody that's living their life clean. Okay, so these people can... Remember what happened to all the so-called priests that didn't live clean lives? What about Eli's sons? They were priests. God killed them. There's numerous things in the Bible where people that were supposedly priests didn't live clean lives, and they tried to go before God, and God killed them. What about, and I should have wrote the names down, but the men that offered Abinadab, I think one of them was Abinadab, they offered, the Bible says, strange fire to the Lord, and God killed them, okay? Korah and those others that rose up against Moses, all right, God killed them, all right? Different people that weren't living clean lives and then tried to go to God, God killed him, okay? So it is important to live a clean life. And we see that in Malachi chapter 2 here. God said, you were living a clean life here, okay? That's why I chose them. They were living a clean life. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. I know we're using our Bibles a bunch this morning, but that's good. Exodus chapter 30. Nothing else keeps me awake, so. Exodus chapter 30. Verse number 6, Exodus chapter 30, verse number 6. And this is talking about the altar here. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before this mercy seat that is over the testimony. Look at this last phrase, and I know it's kind of an odd phrase, but it really caught my attention. Where I will meet with thee, where I will meet with thee. You know, as a priest, remember I said we go before God? Well, think about this. When you go before God, God meets you there. Wherever it could be. It could be in your... I pray a lot in my truck. When I'm going to work or driving, you know, I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to stuff. It's quiet time, okay? And, you know, sometimes that's where God meets me, is in my truck. It may be you have a special spot. You know, I like to deer hunt, you know, and most of the time I'm not seeing anything. So, you know, it's a good time to think, all right? But, you know, sometimes that's where God meets me. So are you going to come to God as a dirty, somebody that's unclean? You look at what the priest had to do before they went into the Holy of Holies, to the holy place. It's pretty amazing. They had to be clean. God wanted them to, hey, listen, God wanted them to take a bath. Maybe that's good. Maybe we just need to get down to the nitty-gritty about stuff, but God looks at your God wants you to take a bath, okay? You know, wear clean clothes. You say, this is the way change it. Change the way you live. I know that's kind of a random thing, but that's what God said. As a priest, as a Christian, listen, folks, as a Christian, your house ought to be clean. There's a portion in the Bible, and I thought about preaching a message about it one time, and I can't go to it, but the Bible even said, basically, he told the children of Israel, it was kind of neat. He said that you need to pick stuff up in the camp. He said, clean the camp up, basically, is what God told the children of Israel. And he gave why. He said, because if God's walking around in your camp, do you want him to trip over something? Or if God's walking around in your camp, do you want him to see something that's dirty? So if you want God in your camp, clean it up. If you want God in your house, I'm just saying, keep it clean. I think Christians ought to have clean houses. And I know this is, Brother Chad, you're supposed to, this is Bible. Okay? There's no reason a Christian should have a dirty hat. There's no reason, I like taking baths. I'm stinky at the end of the day, all right? Hey, God wants you to live clean. Okay? And I'm not just talking about clean, I need to abstain from sin. Yes, that's true. You need to abstain from sin. But God also told the priest, hey, you need to wash. Your clothes need to be clean. That's what God said. Remember, we're a priest before God. And this is practical stuff, folks. This is something you can go do this week, all right? It's something I can do this week, all right? But it was interesting when God said that. He said, if you're going to, and he was talking about the children of Israel. They obviously didn't have running water and toilet facilities. And he said, if you got to go use the bathroom, take a shovel with you and don't do it in the camp. Go outside the camp. Because if I'm walking around the camp, I don't want dirtiness in the camp. All right? It's good hygiene. Okay? And the reason he said is because the Lord your God walketh among you. Pretty amazing. Our church, we have some young ladies and young people that do a good job cleaning. It's important that we keep our, if you see a piece of trash on the floor, pick it up. Pick it up. It's important that our facilities are clean and kept up, okay? Just a practical thing. It's just something simple, but it's very practical. Because why? Because the Lord meets us here. Because the Lord may meet you in your house doing your devotions in the morning. Keep it clean. Keep your life clean. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. Here again, we're going to see verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Remember I said something about the priest that died? And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. These were sons of the high priest that died. Why? When they offered before the Lord, and then they basically were living dirty lives. So the two sons of Aaron died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. There again, God expected a priest to come clean before him. So when I go to God as a priest, because I can, we've already looked at that, we are all priests. When I go to God, I need to ask myself, am I clean? Am I clean? If not, I'm talking everything. And I'm not saying, guys, if you're dirty, and I've done it before, I've been working on a car, and I get so irritated with one bolt that won't go in. And I've got covered with grease, and I said, Lord, I really don't want to cuss right now, okay? Would you please help me? Because this is testing my patience, okay? Now, God doesn't expect you, but I'm saying as a way of life, live clean. Okay? But not just that, live clean as far as your way of life. You know, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Or have you got a whole list of sins that you've got to go to God and say, well, God, I need to come to you and I need to get this done and take care of this. And I saw this the other day and I shouldn't have. And I thought this and I said this. And you got a whole list. Well, what if it's pretty important and you got to pray right away? You have a clean? Is it clean? Then you can go to God. All right. So live a clean life. Leviticus chapter 6. And nobody likes to hear it, but live a clean life. Leviticus chapter 6. Or we already looked at that. So first of all, we are all priests. Second of all, a priest can go to God. Thirdly, a priest is required to live a clean life. Now listen to this one, and this is pulled directly from Malachi, so if you want to flip back there with me. Malachi, chapter number 2. What else was a priest required to do? Well, a priest was required to go before God and be a mediator, if you would, between man, the children of Israel, and God. But we have taken that spot, so we no longer need a priest. Verse number 6. Let's look at the words of the priest. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. What is a priest's duty? Number 4, a priest is to proclaim the truth and the will of God to others. A priest is to proclaim the truth and the will of God to others. God came to the priest. If God wanted to tell the children of Israel something, God either came to Moses or the priest, didn't he? And he said, all right, this is what I want you to tell the children of Israel. Now you go tell them. God didn't ever really, maybe once or twice he came down where he made his presence known and he, you know, the children of Israel knew it was God. Most of the time he went to Moses or the priest. All right? Now I say I included Moses because technically Moses was not of Aaron's seed, so he would have not technically been the priest, okay? But he was the leader there. Priest is to proclaim the truth and the will of God to others. Look, if you notice in verse number 6, the law of truth was in his mouth and iniquity was not found in his lips. So it's something that the priest here is supposed to be talking about. And God said, when I first made the covenant with Levi, you were proclaiming truth. You were living right. Your lips, the things that you were saying, were representative of who I was and what I wanted you to say. You were basically just a mouthpiece for me, if you would. And then God said, but that's not the case anymore. You're not saying what I'm telling you to say. You're twisting it. Look at verse number 9, the last phrase of verse number 9, but have been partial in the law. You know what that means? Okay, God's telling the priest to tell the children of Israel one thing. Well, probably because the priests weren't living right, they twisted it and said, well, you can do this over here. They were partial. They were proclaiming partial truth. They weren't preaching the whole counsel of God. So God was coming to the priest and he's saying, you're supposed to be telling the children of Israel this, but this is happening. I know of several, and praise the Lord, pastors not this way. But you know, there's a lot of pastors that they'll preach one thing for a long time, and then maybe they've got a kid or a family member or something that goes against what they've been preaching their whole life. And you know what happens a lot of times, sadly, is that that pastor will change. Maybe not, he won't preach, you know, it's not that he, but he stops preaching against certain things because of family or certain circumstances in his life. And this is what the priests are doing. Basically, this is what the priests are doing here. Well, I'm not living a clean life. You know, it's hard to preach against something that you're doing. It really is. Believe me, I've been there, done that, okay? You know, you're standing up here preaching against or teaching about something, and the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you too. It's like, ugh. You know, it is hard. So you know what the Levites were doing? They were not teaching the whole truth. They weren't teaching everything that God told them to do. They were being they weren't being the good mouthpiece that they should have been. All right. So that's what the Levites were doing. So they, in verse number six, the last part of verse number six, the Bible says, and did turn many away from iniquity. Okay. Then verse number eight. So at first they were turning many away from iniquity, but in verse number eight, they departed out of the way and have caused many to stumble at the law. So first they were teaching the law. Now they're causing many to stumble at the law. It's an inconsistency. They were being very, very inconsistent. You say, Brother Chad, that's good for the priests. But remember, we are priests. Is what I'm saying consistent? Or have I changed things that I'm saying? You know, as a parent, you know, it's, well, this morning, and I'll confess my sins this morning, all right? I took Emily with me on the bus this morning, okay? We got up late, running late. It happened. You know how it is on Sunday morning. Got up late, and so I just took Emily with me. So I get her in the truck seat, and what do? As a good dad, I do what? Put her seatbelt on. Here, you know what's coming. So we're driving along. You know, she's cold. My truck hasn't warmed up yet. I had a big coat in my truck, so I threw it on her, and she's sitting there, and she's not saying anything. I have my buses in Brother Jeff Scales' house, so I go from my house, and I'm in Shelburne. She looks over at me. Daddy, you didn't put your belt on. Yes, I didn't. Daddy will have to fix that, won't he? You know what? It happens, doesn't it? Daddy, you didn't put your belt on. Daddy, why did you say that? I'm not supposed to say that. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, should I? And you know what? I had to fix it. You know, and we got to be consistent in every area of life, whether it be from the pulpit or the pew. All right? Consistency is very important. And the children of Israel, the priests, they weren't being consistent. They were saying, well, bless God, we're going to live this way and this way and this way. And then they didn't live that way. All right? You know, if you're going to, it's amazing. You know, we've got the sodomy and the, you know, everything that's being preached hard against. But you know why so many Christians can't listen? You know why so many Christians can't back what the Bible says about, listen to me, sodomy and cross-dressing and everything like that? You want to know why they back down and everybody's so stinking quiet about it? Inconsistency. They don't have a leg to stand on. Because if they say something, the people, well, what about that? You're living that way. Christians don't have a leg to stand on because we've compromised so much. You know what? The priest didn't have a leg to stand on. Look at verse number 9. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. The priests were supposed to be up here. The priests were supposed to be God's chosen, the elite of the elite of the children of Israel. But because they departed from the word of truth, because they weren't what they should have been, God said he's going to make them base and contemptible. And you know what? I'm sorry to say, but for most part, Christians in the eyes of the world, and you can, as if you take all the people that go by the name Christian and lump them in one group, that's what the world does to us. It doesn't say, well, because, you know, the people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know, you live up to a higher standard. But if you take everybody in the world that's lumped in the name Christian, you know what, folks? The world looks at us and spits at us because of our inconsistency. Now, I'm not saying here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm saying Christians as a whole. You know, you take every church in Jacksonville, Linton, Sullivan, all these little towns that have the word Baptist, Christian, Church of Christ. Those are Christian people, folks. Now, I'm not saying there's good people in those churches, great people in those churches. but how are you, what's their life like? And we're all lumped into one category, and that we say, well, you shouldn't do this, this, and this. And then they look at us and say, well, you're doing it. And so we know what we are. We're base and contemptible before the people. When we should be having, when we should have the ultimate respect of the world and everybody else, we're basing. I get people all the time. They either think I'm in the military. I don't know why. They think I'm in the military or something like that. Because why? I say yes, sir. That is the one distinguishing factor that sets me apart. When I go to the, well, my heart rate. That's the other thing. If I go to like get my physical for a CDL, they think I've been in the military because my heart rate. I don't know what that means, but go figure. But anyway, and I say yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Why don't we? You know what? And they think, well, he's been in the military. No, I'm not. I just had a dad that brought me up right, and I'm a Christian. Okay? I'm not in the military, and that's good training. But you know what? As a Christian, I ought to be living a higher standard. As a Christian, as a priest, we all ought to be living a higher standard. It's hard to go proclaim the truth, which is number four, proclaim the truth and the will of God to others. If I'm not living right, you can't do it. If you do do it, nobody listens to you. It's like, Daddy, you didn't put your belt on. Emily, you need to put your belt on. Put your seatbelt on. Daddy, you didn't put your belt on. If I don't put my belt on and she sees me do that time after time, well, you, Daddy don't, daddies don't wear seatbelts. Little girls need to wear seatbelts. Yeah, she's, as soon as she turns 16 and she's driving by herself, guess who's not going to be wearing her seatbelt? Daddy, you didn't wear, put your belt on. All right? I want you that thought to go through your mind, all right, about this. Ephesians, two more places, Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be done. Or one more place. Ephesians 4, I want to show you this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Verse 20, or look at 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put off on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's important what you speak, but remember, wherefore putting away lying, you got to get rid of the junk too. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. We're talking about proclaiming the truth here as a priest. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. I think it's 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth what? Righteousness. But a false witness, deceit. Are you proclaiming the truth? Are you as a priest, are you proclaiming the truth and the will of God to others? And if you are, does your life back it up? Does your life back it up? Something to think about. So this week, remember, you're a priest and you can go to God. And that's a great, valuable asset that I can go to God anytime, anywhere as a priest and God will listen to me. But there's also a liability there in that I have to live a clean life. I must keep my life clean. And as a priest, I'm supposed to proclaim the truth and the will of God to others. So am I living a consistent life? Am I putting my belt on? If you would. Or is there an inconsistency there? And if there is, you know what the Bible says? Behold, I will make you base and contemptible. An inconsistency. So be consistent as a Christian. Let me encourage you that. Be consistent as a Christian. Live your life clean. Live your life as a priest ought to live your life. Practically, you know, and, you know, I'm terrible about this. You know, I talked about your house, but I wouldn't really want, you know, I'd have to scoot all the stuff out of my front seat for Jesus to sit in the front seat of my truck. I never thought about that until just now. I had to clean my truck up. That'd be rough. I got a new job all week this week, cleaning my truck up. No, but in all seriousness, live a clean life. Live a clean life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for just the things, even in a book of the Bible that we sometimes don't even, we kind of pass over, at least I do, pass over and don't really give thought to, Lord, the things that you can teach us. And just, Lord, help us to not be like the Levites that, although they were priests and they were supposed to be the higher class and closer to you, Lord, that they kind of strayed away from you and weren't living the lives that they should have. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we can come to you boldly before the throne of grace. And Lord, we love you for that, and we thank you for that. And thank you for the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who's there waiting for us and beseeches God on our behalf, even though sometimes we can't. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.